Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The four is good. Where is my one right now? Okay, bet. Cool. Tahir, what you looking like, bro? Chico good, in the shadows. It's nothing behind the sheriff we don't want, right? You listen to Marvin Gaye?
Yes, sir.
Sade?
Yes, sir. It's
Michelle Obama, Harriet Tubman's up there. We got Angela Davis. And then we got us, of course.
Yes, sir.
Martin and Malcolm and Barack Obama. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you have titties behind you? We got titties back there. But they artistic, they not new.
I understand. It's we're good. I promise.
We
good.
We should turn it upside down. They never know. They'll just look like knees. Whatever, I'll be here all weekend, man. Y'all forgot I'm a comedian? Hey, welcome back to the 85 South Show.
Yes.
Hey, I've been saying it for a long time. I guess I spoke this, you know, into existence. There's literally about to be a new sheriff in town.
Yes, sir.
I've been using your title. I didn't know that you was going eventually be here.
You gotta say it right though. When you say there's a new sheriff in town, you gotta say his name, and his name is Pat
Labatt.
Yes, sir. There's
a new sheriff in town, and his name is Pat
Labatt.
What's going on, man?
Hey,
first of all, congratulations.
Yes, sir.
You here to speak up again, man? It's runoff season.
It is. And first of all, thank you all. I mean, it's been amazing. We had a chance to talk outside. The things that you all are doing was, I had no idea.
Right.
And so I told somebody earlier, I was bragging on y'all since I met you. And I am absolutely honored to be back.
Man, it's an honor and a privilege to have you back, man.
Yes, sir.
Because now it's getting real.
It is.
It's a runoff. That means that, hey, it was you right there.
It is, 19
so
days.
This is the next step, man. So after you going through the initial election process, my first question would be, did you go back and make some notes and retool your strategy, and what are you doing moving forward for the runoff process?
So we did. I mean, it's almost rinse and repeat. You know, I was running for almost a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
and so we were very thorough about what we did,
right.
and intentional. And so the plan worked, right? It's hard to beat an incumbent. When you look, though, 100,000 people in Fulton County intentionally did not vote for the incumbent. They intentionally voted for change.
Mm.
And that's what the whole platform's about, is about change. And all the things that are happening in our communities, it's time for change.
It is.
And we need new leadership. So timing is perfect. I say it's divine intervention.
Right.
And it's time for change.
That's what's up. Mm-hmm. Now, the runoff process, is there any difference in the runoff than there was in the initial election?
Well, there are some differences. There were five candidates, right, including the incumbent. But more importantly, there were literally 100 and plus precincts that were open. We only had 6 early voting locations. So I do want to applaud The Fulton County Elections Department, early voting this time is actually 20 different locations, including the largest in the Southeast at State Farm Arena. So that'll be huge. But there were also 47 items on the ballot. Now there are only four. So it's down to the nitty gritty.
Right.
And so less than 50% voted for any one candidate. And so now you can win by one vote. And so every vote counts.
Okay.
Yes, sir. So.
Now you being that you're running for sheriff, you know what I mean? And I know where I come from in D.C., you know, we don't have any of that. So is there a difference in the way that you have to police down here versus other, you know, inner cities across America? Is there a difference in your methods that you can apply being a sheriff versus just being a, well, you know, a high ranking police officer?
Well, to your point, right, the sheriff is elected. And so police chiefs and police officers are appointed by the mayor. There are 15 cities inside Fulton County. Fulton County is one of 159 counties in the state of Georgia. So it dates back and centers to the point that it is one of the largest and most powerful associations in the state. And so the high sheriff is considered the person that runs the largest sheriff's office, as well as the Atlanta sits in Fulton County. So there is a difference, right? You are allowed to swear people in as deputies. Don't get any ideas.
But I'm just trying to get immunity. If there's any way to sign up for immunity, I want some of that.
But the sheriff should set the tone for policing, all right? Set the tone for law enforcement across the county. And, you know, there are 15 cities, as I said, inside Fulton County, 15 different police chiefs. And so we have to do a better job in our community of really listening to our community, but at the same time organizing and making sure we're thoughtful about what we do.
Right. I watched the last interview that y'all did, and it was very interesting, and I had so many questions just watching it. Where I come from, there's a high recidivism rate. Like, you know, when guys get out, they go right back. Right. And I think a lot of that is because there is a disconnect between the people who enforce the law and the people who have the hardest time, you know, abiding by it. So being as though that you are looking to be the new sheriff, what do you think that you can do differently to make sure that when guys come home, that they are useful to the community? Right. What programs do you think you can implement, being as though you have that, you will have that power to give guys that come from the neighborhood that are, you know, impactful inside the neighborhood, to give them something realistic to do to keep them active and keep them from going back, and also use that influence to keep the other young people from going back?
Well, I think it starts before an individual gets released. And so as we discussed last time, I spent 30 years at the City of Atlanta Department of Corrections, the last 10 as chief. And one of the things that we did was create a partnership with the State Department of Corrections, with the number one reentry program in the country. So we have people and sheriff's offices and police officers across the county and across the country trying to figure out what we did. And what we did was create an environment, much to your point, where these young men had real jobs. They become city employees. So instead of leaving incarceration with $25 in a bus ticket, we had people leaving with $20,000, $30,000 in the bank.
Oh, really?
And so they become city employees. So I tell everybody, they start literally start their retirement while they're incarcerated. So they keep their jobs. And so when you come out, you have a place to live. You, more importantly, or equally as important, is they now have some stability to not go back to those old ways. So, and I don't know if I said this last time. I know we were, you weren't here when we talked about, there's a young man that sat in the back of the room and he said, "Chief, I never thought, but for this program, I wouldn't even be able to buy my daughter a prom dress," right? And so that touches you, and it inspires you to continue to go through these programs and build programs like this. And it was one of the most enjoyable experiences of my 10 years as chief, because we really affected change. And that's what this was about. This was affecting lives. They started getting their medical insurance while they're incarcerated, not necessarily for them, because that's our responsibility, but for their family, right? So can you imagine a situation where a child hasn't had medical insurance because their father's been incarcerated? Right. And so for us, it was about how do we prevent that? And to exactly to what you said, is how do we create a better system so when these brothers and sisters come out, that they are in fact more equipped and to stay out? And that, so we've had zero individuals return back from the program, return back to jail. And then equally, we have to look at, we won't arrest our way out of any of these problems. And so we started reading with kids on the third grade level. You hear all the time about the school to prison pipeline. And it, how do we interrupt that pipeline? And that's what it was. It's sending officers over to really engage with kids at a young age. And so hopefully they could stay out of jail as well.
Yeah, makes sense. So, I know
he shouldn't go to jail for fighting in school. That builds character. I think that's, y'all really got to stop arresting people for everything. Like, them kids need an ass whooping in high school so you can figure out that you are a good student and you're not tough. Like, I've seen ass whoopings have a positive effect.
Impact on people.
I feel like everybody, if you get in a fight, both people shouldn't have to go to jail. Like, the motherfucker who lost should have to go.
Well, yes and no.
Like, taking both parts, you got to defend yourself. If you lose, or if, like, if you start the shit and you lose, then you should have to go to jail.
Well, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way.
I know, that's what I'm telling you.
But what I used to tell people when they get to fighting inside the jail was, the winner we're going to send to court, the loser we're going to send to the hospital. So, you know, somebody's got to go somewhere.
Well, I know that growing up, being a police officer is not the thing to be. I'm talking about, like, if you raise your hand in my classroom and say, yeah, I'm going to be the police, we're going to beat your ass at recess.
And you gonna see be how the police. Character that build? That's what I was getting.
You know what I mean? So, so my question to you is, what do you think you can do to change that narrative? Like, do you think that it's something that can be done to make kids not look at police as the enemy? And look at them as, because we don't have any good experiences. Most of us don't have good experiences with the police. I've had very few in my life that are positive, to where when you see them, that initial fear of, oh, shh, they got me, goddamn. Well, like, how do you feel like you can change that, especially in the eyes of young people? Because I feel like if it was more, if it was cool, or if they had some people to look at that were cool, then it would be started at an earlier process in their life so they can grow with the law and knowing how to enforce it amongst our people.
And look, I get it, right? If the blue lights come on behind me right now, my stomach starts flipping, right? Until they realize that I used to be with the city, right?
It might not be good enough these days. They used to be shit.
You.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
But it goes back to something we talked about last time, and when we talked about training.
Right.
And You asked me when, what kind of training, when will the training end?
Right.
And do we, and see, I remember this. You asked me, do we train white officers to kill black young men?
Yeah.
Right. And so that allows us, these conversations allow us to evolve. And so I would say now to that, we need to figure out how to make the first conversation and encounter one that is not one of arrest. And so that's why we sent officers over to read at the third grade level and be a part of the school system. And I actually, and you know how proactive
I am. Send them to high school to read. Third grade level too low.
Well.
See, that's the problem. They're training them with the wrong shit. See, I can understand that. If I don't see no videos of black officers doing this shit, I don't see black officers going to white communities, whooping people's ass and harassing them in their front porch. I've been in the neighborhood where it's like, damn, we already live in the most fucked up place we can live. You mean to tell me we can't sit on the porch?
That
whole
I get that.
Police pull up, go in the house shit. What else? I mean, it's like to the point where these officers go into black communities and provoke this shit. But you know that we living in a crime-ridden place. It's broken over here.
But what we
you
have
think
to do
we
to
need
your point?
Officers sitting in our fucking driveway all day watching us?
Well,
what does that create?
Well, the better opportunity is for us to have officers live in the community.
But that right. makes it even worse, because now we broke and we got to live next door to snitching ass Stanley.
Well, no, but it, what it does is build friendships, right? And so if you have an officer that's able to live in your community, when something happens, it's not unfamiliar to you,
uh-huh.
right? And that's what this is about. It goes beyond community policing and into an area that allows us to be a part of the community.
Well, we do gotta act like with a lot of shit coming out about police officers doing all this that we didn't know. First of all, Police not about to be living in our broke ass communities if they making $200,000-$300,000 a year. Let's be real.
Well, let's be real. They're not making that.
But they making a lot more than the average citizen to be living next door. It happens because people live in nice neighborhoods, but I'm talking about the ass whoopings that they're not trying to live in them communities where they go and do all this terrible shit.
I think if you implement it, if there was a program implemented to where if you become a police officer, you are obligated to live in these communities, regardless. So don't become a police officer if you're not willing to live amongst the people that you're policing. If you have a problem with that, then that automatically shows that you're not fit to be a police, because if you look at a community and say, "Man, I ain't standing over that dirty motherfucker," then that means that you have an idealism of what these people are. And there's no way you can really police them if you don't have an idea of who they are as a people. So I think
I think we start earlier than that. And so you look at what the Atlanta Police Department is doing with the At Promise Center. And so every recruit, so we don't say at risk, right? It's the At Promise Center. And so we look at the recruits actually having to, I won't say due time, but serve in those communities as their recruits, right? I think it's unrealistic to say that everybody has to be in that community,
right?
Because we all want better, right? We also want a better community. The question becomes, how do we do it? And so the Atlanta Police Department was very forward thinking when they built 5 houses over in Vine City, right? And went through a selection process of making sure officers that wanted to be in the community were able to purchase those homes, have to stay in those homes, right? But then they are part of the community. Right. So we have to do a better job of that. And then the other piece is a lot of officers can't afford to live in town. Right, I mean, they don't get paid $200,000 or $300,000. That's
and I think that creates a level of a level of you know, problem is problematic because
the budget $1 billion.
You know what I mean?
That's Los Angeles. You're absolutely right.
It's like, I just think that it's the enforcing of the law that's the problem that I've experienced, because we don't get taught the law. We just get it enforced upon us. The people who look like us. Nobody's coming into the community. You can come read on a third grade level, but there should be some programs offered, in my opinion, offered by the police, where you can come and learn the law and learn your real rights, to where you know if your rights are being violated. Because a lot of times we don't know our rights are being violated and we react based on just natural instinct and then end up breaking the law within that.
So I would challenge you to say, one, you're correct, but there is a Citizens Academy. Right. So let's be a part of it. And that teaches you everything that you just spoke of. There's a Sheriff's Academy. There's a Citizens Academy, Citizens Police Academy. So we want to build those relationships. And it's about spreading the word, because people don't know that. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's a 8-9 week course that you have to be committed to. But at the same time, it allows us. And one of the things I said last time I was here is I want to make sure that the community and law enforcement, the gap is bridged so quickly, because it's necessary to do that, right? But what that means is I become sheriff-elect on August 12th, right? I'm going to take a couple of weeks. I got to give my wife her time back. Right. But come September.
Reclaiming my time.
Yes, absolutely, right.
Yeah, so if you don't, you're going to have more problems than this sheriff.
I agree. <You're> right. But come September, I want to have these communal conversations and be able to say what is the issue. And one of the things that came out of our conversation was how we train. And so I think the focus needs to be on not the physical part of it, but how we change the mental training to say, I'm not making an arrest. My job is to figure out how to help you get home tonight.
Right.
Right. And if we put that first, then watch some of the things that go away.
And you said there's a Citizens Academy. So would it be possible, let's say I'm going to the Citizens Academy. I'm going to learn the law. Mm-hmm. Like, is there something that can be given to me to show that I completed the Citizens Academy? Yeah. You motherfuckers is tripping. I know my rights. Like, and if you violate me and I know that, you know, I didn't completed the Citizens Academy, then that means I should be able to get you something that you can't eat lunch for a week or something. I don't know what it is.
Hey, this has been the question that everybody keeps raising.
Okay.
They keep saying about, well, all cops are not bad cops. Like, where are the good cops intervening in the bad cop situations?
I think you have to make that a new training tool, right? You have to break that.
You mean that you got to train people to say, no, hey, I mean they is, fucking up. You can do this to everybody else, but if you see it with somebody you work with.
No, what you have to do is break that cycle.
Okay.
Right? And you have to break that mentality. And people have to understand.
They call it blue wall of silence, right?
See?
Yeah.
You know, you said that. And it was so eloquent to the point that we need to make sure that you are no longer able to stand by while somebody, and doesn't matter who it is,
right,
is committing a crime. Right? And George Floyd happened after we had our conversation.
Right.
That was murder. There's no other way to look at it.
Right.
And I have said publicly that the officers that stood by and watched that deserve life in prison as well. Right. Those things have to be not necessarily taught, to your point,
right,
but exposed to say it's okay to really innovate.
But why is it like that? Why isn't that already implemented? If they know that there are bad cops doing bad things and there are good cops doing good things, where I'm saying, what's the disconnect at the police station? Not the people. What is the culture that these people feel threatened to say, hey, you can't be killing people. We got to take the heat for this.
It's the same mentality as the streets to me.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So what but what I'm saying, though, is like, if you're going to go out and you're going to take the same heat for some shit that you have, you don't want to be, like, you don't want to be bunched up with the bad apples. Where is the disconnect with, like, these people over here ain't taking that shit?
But you have to make sure it's okay. You have to make sure it's okay. And here's the thing we got to keep in mind. A good cop, nobody hates a bad cop more than a good cop. Right,
that's hard to believe, right there.
Well, when you have people, and this is the thing we have to get to, we have to get back to the community to make sure people understand that our hearts are bigger than our badges, right? And as long as we keep that in mind, and it starts with customer service. So, and we have to. And you asked me last time, how do we not necessarily train our way out of this, but how do we retool this?
Right.
We have to figure out how to fly this law enforcement airplane and rebuild it at the same time. And it starts with these conversations, right? A lot of police chiefs, a lot of sheriffs, people scared to come in here and have this conversation. But this is a real conversation.
Right.
And as long as we can have a real conversation, then I get better, we get better, right? And we can close that gap.
Right. Now, I know that it's a disconnect between the way the law is enforced amongst us and everybody else. And I learned this firsthand in my neighborhood that I live in now. It's a majority white neighborhood.
You better move.
I know, right? It's crazy.
You gotta get the fuck out of there.
Some neighbors that live, you know, across from me had a full-on domestic dispute outside in the front yard. I'm talking about fist fighting. Fuck you. You call me alcoholic. I mean, it was going down.
Yeah.
And the police never came. They never came. They never, I don't know if they were called or not, but they never showed up. I know if I'd have been outside aggressively helping the motherfucker, the police would have been called. So where, and those situations, how do you find a solution for the difference and the imbalance between the law applying to everybody else and black people?
So let me start here. If you saw this occurring, right, was somebody feeling threatened in the conversation?
Yeah, what was going, I'm talking about that white right. man rage. It was so, going down. So, fuck you, asshole. Come right. at me, bro. Yeah, I was very terrified.
So you were
But
terrified.
I was afraid to call the police because I know if I called the police, they going to fuck with me. That's the way I feel.
And you feel like that, and that's the perception, right? But
that's the fact.
I'd have called the police.
I'd have called the police. That is against the law.
It ain't a black man in this room.
Man, that is against the law, man. You as a black man, you can't call the police.
For
like,
nothing.
For nothing, because it's like, you get to a point, and this is just from experience. I got uncles, and my father was murdered, uncles in jail, cousins in jail, countless numbers of friends who have suffered the same fate. And we know that if something is going on, if me and this guy get into a dispute and the police are called, then everybody else who's present is in danger. Everybody. As a black man, I can't feel like all these black men, and you the sheriff, nigga. I feel like if somebody called the police and they came in here now, we still in danger with the sheriff in this motherfucker because we all black men and people feel like it's too many of them for it to be safe. There's no way I can handle this situation safely without calling 19 cars. And I mean, you got a gun. Every police officer has a weapon. So I don't understand why you need 19 different police officers to show up to defuse a situation between two people.
So let me ask this. Would you have felt more comfortable if there was an officer living in your community that you could lean on?
It depends on how cool we is. Like, if, right, you know right. what I mean? If I smoked a blunt with the nigga one time, you know what I mean? And we had a conversation about some shit. You know what I mean? If he was a cool dude, then maybe. But other than that, nah, because I know it's like, this is the way I feel. I don't come from a city with gang banging, but the police is, in my mind, the biggest gang in the world because they all got guns. They the only gang where everybody is strapped. Every other gang, you got a couple niggas that got some guns, but the police, everybody's strapped. And when they come, and they not just strapped with a gun, they got a gun, a billy club, a taser, that slapstick shit that they use. It's your whole, you got a Batman belt of fuck a nigga up. That's
to your point, right? That tool belt, what we need to add to it is the ability to say, my first reaction in every conversation, right, after you know the scene is safe, is how do we diffuse or get you home safely? If we add that to that tool belt, right, from training, it has to be repetitive. We add that to that tool belt, then I know I shouldn't be reaching for my gun when this is my next door neighbor, right? We got to figure this out. And so my question is this. What's your suggestion?
My suggestion personally is I don't think that you should be able to be a police officer if you're scared.
And police got to stop creating crimes too.
Yeah, and if you're scared.
Like, when I say creating crimes, it's like if they show up and they say, what's the problem? Let me see your license. You are who you say. It shouldn't be all that extra shit. All that, hey man, look, you gonna see no problems going on over here. Please go find the murderers and the crooks and the motherfuckers. Don't just take me to jail because you got a whole bunch of black people over here. It's some shit going on. Like, once they there, they came to take somebody.
That's my point.
They don't get in the car and leave.
But that's my point. We should make the first encounter and the thought process of, it's not a crime for us to be here. Right? It's not a crime for us to be here.
But on the other side of that, like he was saying earlier, once they come, though,
right,
somebody
going to jail.
We have
to change. Right. But now here's the thing. Most of the time, they show up because somebody called them.
Of course.
But right. We want to stop all these phantom ass calls, too. Because if we out here kicking it and we know ain't no neighbors, where they getting these calls from?
But you can go back to every 911 tape.
I don't believe that now.
Find the call.
I feel like you shouldn't be able to be a police officer if you're scary. And what I mean by scary is you see these reactions in these situations where these innocent people, unarmed people are killed. And you see the reaction to when somebody is shot or when they pull their gun, it's just, oh, all right, put your fucking gun. And you could just tell, man, you scary. You know what I mean? You are scary. There should be, fuck a questionnaire. You should be put in random situations throughout your training where some shit just happened. Now, y'all got to set it. You can set it up to where it just be the police and y'all do it amongst each other. But when a motherfucker going in his house, you had two motherfuckers jump out the bushes on his ass.
Rush. Ooh, I got it. Y'all love training so much. This training. All right, you should. If you want to be the police officer, you got to go to one of these little redneck-ass Georgia counties with a gun in the car and then get pulled over by their police so you can see. Yeah, that's it. The police got to go through real police.
You got real police
situation. I'm talking about some police who don't know nothing about this police academy shit. They're going to search the car and violate you and treat you like a regular citizen. Then when you come back, if you still want to do it,
then you can be the police.
A couple things we need to unpack.
And we're going to stop acting like police just be by the book too, Pat. You know they be doing people dirty.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
You knew.
Let's unpack this
dude,
right quick.
Dude found a way to get me. I mean, like, it seems
hold
like
up. Well, wait, don't
way.
Tell him yet. Wait, he gonna unpack this part.
Well, let's unpack this part first. And this is, and I said this last time, right? Young men that become police officers, young women that become police officers. And you can be a police officer at 20, 21, right? 20 going into the academy as long as you're 21, that kind of thing. And what we do is we put them in high stress situations, right? And we're talking about law enforcement in general. But
give me an example of high stress.
Those things happen. So you put them in this environment where the training is just as you say it, right? You're not jumping out the bushes, but their car stops. Those are things. Hit me out. But if we put them in a situation that the community recognizes, just as you just said, mm-hmm. right? You continue to train in that fashion. But here's the other thing. Is that many of us have kids, right? I got a 21 and 22 year old,
okay.
right? Men, yes, black grown men, that I wouldn't give a gun, and I certainly wouldn't put them out 11 at night to 7 in the morning, and send them to the worst parts of town. So we have to reconfigure, restructure. So we got seasoned veterans, right? So that those things don't happen.
Right.
And then the other thing, and I offered this to you and Tyler from the Tyler Chronicles, is that. As I become sheriff, one of the things we can do, and I'll make sure you're involved too, Chico, is include you all in the training, right? So that you can experience it to the point that you remember when I said this.
Ain't no, I ain't going for no taser shit. I'm not for taser, I swear.
But
it's gonna be real charged after that.
Well, I got it, right? But you gotta be hit with a taser in order to carry one, right?
I don't want one. You gotta shoot me?
So you gotta ride that lightning.
Well, what I got to do to get a gun then?
Not you don't get shot to get a gun.
Well, that don't make no. That's stupid. That is
but
dumb.
The point being is, and I've said this. Do you remember in Men in Black when Will Smith went in there and he shot the little girl, during his training because she had boots on, etc. Well, there are opportunities for us to put you in high stress situations where these instructional machines actually shoot back. Right. So I want to take Chico, bring you into this instructional machine and have this high pressure situation put together and see how you survive the situation. And so to that point, we did that with a couple preachers, a couple pastors who would always get out in front of every shooting. And now you see them be a little more sensitive because they went in there and killed everybody in the room. Right. Good guys, bad guys. They're shooting everybody. Right.
In the name of Jesus.
But we have to do that, right? And we have to get in front of the conversation so that you and I can can really build that relationship and then tell me what we're doing, we can do better, right? And tell me what we're doing wrong. And then when we do that, we grow from it. And everybody will tell you, anybody around me, I'll give you my number before we leave. And feel free to call me. And when you see things that are right, wrong, and different, right? But the first thing we got to do with the sheriff's office and set the tone in law enforcement in Fulton County is focus on customer service.
Have you had to deal with that late night call from one of your sons calling you about getting pulled over and you hear in the background they're clearly being violated and turn the goddamn phone off?
And here's the crazy part. Unlike the incumbent, right, I have to have that conversation repeatedly
with
my son about what to do when you're stopped, all those things.
What should you do when
you're stopped? In the world, my daddy will be the sheriff and I gotta worry about what I do when I get stopped. Bitch, you fired. You got me fucked up. You see my grain of hair, nigga? That's that Labatt, nigga. You got me fucked up.
You better run my fucking license again.
You better run it again. You see the name on the back of this. Right.
Check the address.
For real.
Until you're in Nashville and your son calls you and tells you he's on the side of the fucking road because these cops have pulled him out. They don't care nothing about you.
Right.
They don't care nothing about you. Now, they let him on his way. Let me be clear. But see, the painful part for me is he doesn't tell me this till I get home. Right? Till he gets home. Right? And I'm like, son, why didn't you call me? Right? So that one, every time they leave, I cringe. And that's one of the things that we have to learn to unwind and unpack. So you're right. It is, while that may seem like an easy answer for him,
right?
But he's also trying to build his own identity. All right. But it happens. It happens. And it's unfortunate that it happens. But we have to figure out how to reverse that trend.
Now, I know, you know, just
how does it just happen on one side, though?
That's what I was just about to say.
It's not a trend if they only doing it to certain people.
And this
it's not just a random act of, hey, you've been violation and you being belligerent. This is the procedure. And this is not. This ain't just motherfuckers talking. Like, everybody in this room could tell you a handful of the times where it's like, all right, this is it. We done went through the whole, you know why I pulled you over? I got your license. They see that we good. Now here comes the dirty part. They gonna do something extra that ain't got shit to do with none of this. We can go from, you said I ran the stop sign to now, which one is it, officer? Like,
well, I mean, look, let me be honest with you.
There is no transparency. They tell you, we'll get to that part later.
But we got to change that. And to your point, when you say everybody in that room, that includes me. So I had my badge in my back pocket, and I'm up there in Cobb County, and I'm 20 years old.
You see how every black man in here that know Atlanta starts shaking their head like, "Who you gonna do, motherfucker?
What you doing up there?
That's right. That's right. But I'm 20. I wasn't running for office at the time, right? And to be treated the same way you just spoke of, right?
It gives me
real life experience to say, once I become sheriff, we got to change that dynamic, right? We got to change it because, you know, our youth. And the people that are protesting are demanding quality service. We have to be able to deliver quality service. Right. And it starts with customer service. And so the one thing about me that you'll find is different than most, especially different than the incumbent, I'll give you my number. I answer the phone. Right. But what we teach, one of you just asked me a few minutes ago, what do we teach in terms of our youth and our kids? We teach that you got to survive the stop. You can't hold court on the side of the road.
Right.
And so when my son called me from Nashville, and he said, "Daddy, they got us on the side of the road." And listen, don't hold court out there. I don't need you videotaping. Now, you can cut on your phone and put it down. Let me be clear, right, to get some good documentation is what I call it. But you don't need to be really anti-police at that moment. You first got to survive the stop.
Right.
Right? Because I know you got plenty of good lawyers. Right.
You got to get back to them first, though. You got to get them. You got to get, like you say, you got to get past that.
You
got to
survive the stop. You got to survive the stop.
But just like you said, I know the procedure. And then Chico would tell you, I'm the most thorough motherfucker when it comes to the procedure. Because it's like, I know how 1 second can change into forever.
A bad section.
So it's like, even if I'm dead ass wrong, I'm not going to fucking make this shit
but
no more difficult.
What you don't
want
to be is dead ass right.
But that's what I'm saying. Even if I know I violated in some point, because it's like, I know sometimes shit just happens. You may see the motherfuckers behind you. You may have swerved. Yeah, hell yeah, I'm trying to make sure that it ain't shit in here that's going to make you take it to the next level. I can take that because I know it's a certain violation that come with a traffic violation. But then if we got to go through the whole back and forth, then the shit, then by the time the other motherfuckers come, now we got a whole ass whooping waiting outside and we can't get out the car at this point.
Right.
Like, that's so why we know what important levels that they operate on. Right. So I try to keep that shit as, hey, you ain't got no problems. I'm a 37-year-old grown ass man. We got the lights on. Look, whatever you need to look through, we're not even finna do all that and go get the warrant shit. If you believe it's in here, it's your job to find it, Mr. Officer. But I'm just gonna keep it real with you. It is not in here. It smell like it's in here, but it ain't in here. Because when you hit the lights, I hit my lights, and whatever you're looking for,
it's not here.
Voila.
I got you. And I'm
trying to be honest with you, but if you want to waste your time searching this car, you can lift the hood. It ain't in here, Mr. Officer. It smell like it. It smells like it. I know that, but it ain't.
It's a lot of people, you know, that don't want change and want things to stay the same.
Right,
I agree.
It's a fun game to them.
It's a lot of people who are totally fine with the way that the infrastructure is set up now within the police department. So how do you plan on standing up against those people? Because unlike us, they have, you know, monetary resources that they pool together and
They got numbers, they got resources,
and they come in with money and they demand
and union.
Well,
and
stuff like we that. Don't have. Unfortunately, we haven't been given that opportunity. So you, being an advocate for, you know, the change, how do you feel like you going, you know, speak truth to power in those regards?
So there are a couple of things that have to happen. First, I got to get elected, right?
Yes, sir.
So we got to get out and vote.
Yes, sir.
That's the important thing, right? But I'm not scared of that piece. Matter of fact, somebody, an actual city council member asked me, he said, you're not scared of the changes that you're proposing and some of the powers that be? I'm not scared of that. I'm not scared because their community, our communities, want change. And I want you to be able to hold me accountable, right? So if a sheriff deputy stops you and you get less than professionalism out of the conversation, whether you were wrong, right, wrong, or indifferent, right? I want you to be able to pick up the phone and call me and say, hey, Pat, listen, this is what happened, right? Because if you hold me accountable, I can hold them accountable, right? And it starts to change the system. I want everybody in this room to say, you know what? That's my sheriff, right? That's my sheriff's office, right? I'm proud of what they're doing. And they're going after these real bad guys.
I got a question. I think the difference is, like, you saying you want people to say, that's my sheriff, but the reality is, in our communities, we want to look and say, that's my nigga.
But that's okay.
That's my nigga, because that applying the police aspect to it makes it you on the other side of what we believe in. But if I look at you and be like, man, Sheriff, he got me. That's my nigga right there. He ain't gonna let nothing bad happen. Like, and that takes a level of effort to create that amount of trust in our communities because it doesn't exist. Like, so I think that a lot of that comes from, like I said, just the police not having an understanding. I've never seen a black police officer and been like, man, he gonna treat me different because he looked like me. And not even being black, but just a police officer in general. Me and Los got pulled over, in Indiana? Mm-hmm. We got pulled over in Indiana and the police came, it was one police, and then when that second car come up, you already know, nigga, we going to jail.
But then when I saw who got out the car, it was Carol Baskins. She did not look like an officer. You know, like the lady who do the paperwork? I just think they sent her because they were shorthand. She was not, and then they no help.
But the way they treated us during the stop, I mean, they stood us up against the car, ran all through our car. One of the officers trying to take my hat off. Wow,
wear Chico hat, man.
He grabbed my hat and all that. Like, just violated my personal space and violated our personal space. And then you know what we got? All right, man, well, in the great state of Indiana, don't do this, that, and the third. Go on about your way. I don't have anywhere to go to say, man, hey, man, I'm my personal rights. Nigga, grab my hat. You know, it's a very sensitive part of my ensemble. I don't like that shit. What can be done about officers out here violating motherfuckers' personal space? Like, is there something that could be done to where in the communities, if you violate somebody or and they have a valid complaint about being violated by an officer, is there something that can be put in place to where they have to come into the community and really serve? You got to come around here and cut grass for a week for free.
Let me ask you this though. What happens with these officer complaints? Like what happens after somebody makes a complaint and then they do the investigation, the same people who are fucking violated? What happens after?
So the question becomes, is in this scenario, is the investigation sustained? If the investigation is sustained, people are suspended, right? There are people that get fired because of it. These things happen. A lot of people simply don't hear about it as well as, you know.
We hear about the shootings, we hear about the rest of that.
Right. But what we want to do is create an environment where complaints are, one of the things we had at the city was an anonymous tip line, right? And you actually go through. Well, we know what the whole concept is in our neighborhoods, right? We have to break that cycle though, and we have to be bold enough to say, okay, this was wrong. This is how I felt, right? And let us deal with it.
Right. Y'all really want people to tell y'all shit? People die. They gotta live in them neighborhoods after they done told everything.
Yeah, but you also want to be treated. You want to be treated professionally.
Let me ask you this: Georgia is well known for being a hotbed for hateful activities. Like the KKK still has a presence in Georgia to this day. What is law enforcement doing about that? This is like a legit terrorist organization for the last 200 years.
So it's a couple things we got to keep in mind, and we mentioned this earlier. Georgia was created as a prison state, right? When the colonists came over, Georgia was a prison state. So it never has fully evolved from that, right? In terms of the number of incarcerations, et cetera. But at the same time, do you say that these individuals are, whether it be the Ku Klux Klan or the skinheads or whoever, right? Have they committed a crime, right? That you can prove, right? Or is it the Black Panther Party? Have they committed a crime that you can prove? So the commission of a crime, regardless to who it is one that should be investigated thoroughly.
The thing. We might not have committed a crime that they can prove, but we definitely do crimes that they can make up. You know what I mean? They can make up a crime.
Yeah, we seen them do that. I feel like you gotta do something. I know so many motherfuckers locked up for doing nothing.
But to your point, right, we have to change the mentality that goes along with, I've heard police officers say over the years, if you follow a car long enough, you can find a reason to stop it.
Uh-huh. Right? That sounds racist as hell.
Well, not necessarily racist. It doesn't matter which car you're following. But a good police officer can find, and I don't mean good from a moral standpoint, right, but someone that is technically sound can find a reason to stop that car if they're technically sound enough to do it. We got to change that mentality, right? So your taillight's broken. What's wrong with me coming up and saying, you know, Chico, hey, your taillight's broken?
Nothing. Right? That would be awesome.
So we got to change the mentality.
Yeah, I mean, cause right?
How many times do you think they're going to let you slide? You get two of them broken taillights. Now your license suspended.
When you gonna fix your taillight?
Now you get pulled over and when you gonna license fix your suspended, taillight out. Right? This is a felony charge now in Georgia because they got the new law, two taillights and you're out of here.
There you go. You making up laws.
Shit, that's what y'all be doing. That's exactly what y'all be doing.
You know, it's like, though.
Look at the police laughing. He know.
It's a piece of that should be accounted for too. Like, you know what I mean? The police is supposed to serve and protect. You know what I mean? And I think
they didn't never say what they were serving and protecting.
It's just two words that is used to describe the police and what they're supposed to do to serve and protect. But
they might want to change that.
If I get pulled over with a tail light, you know what I'm saying, or whatever it may be, where I come from should be taken into account. Oh, this person lives in a neighborhood that I know is you know, downtrodden and messed up. So we're going to do something to make sure that you have the resources to help, to show that it's not just about making sure that you follow the law, but making sure we serve and protect you. We want to protect you from having to, like you said, get me home at night. You shouldn't want me to go to jail. Like, you shouldn't look for a reason as a police officer to get me in jail. But like I said, that program that's set up to where the money runs shit, then they come in and say, hey man, we don't give a fuck about that. We need more of them guys in here so we can make these license plates for 10 cents a day.
But that's what I'm saying. What made people ever think that to serve and to protect, they meant people? That's not what they doing. They serving and protecting the law. Stop thinking that shit is, they not here to help you and be your fucking hero. They serving this law.
Well, that's, you ever been to court? Change.
That's exactly,
you know what they do?
Change.
They serve you them papers. They serving the law. They right. protecting the law.
But we have to do, holistically, exactly.
Just change the slogan. Like, it ain't about you. We serving and protecting the law. We'll whoop your ass and then throw a peace sign or something. Just let people know what's going on.
Look,
we try to make the shit sound better than it is.
We got
to
change, just like you said. Right. I firmly believe that from a law enforcement perspective, we have to be the olive branch. Right. And that olive branch becomes an opportunity for us to sit down and continue to have these conversations.
Yeah.
And how we get better about it.
I'm just going to let y'all know y'all won.
No, it ain't about winning.
Yes, the hell it is. No, y'all got all the weapons, all the tanks, all the shotguns, all the bullets, all the dogs, all the fast cars. Criminals don't stand a chance in this America no more. It ain't even fun.
So why they gotta be criminals?
It ain't fun no more. Y'all overdo everything. Right. 20 what? Police on one
like
nigga.
Back in the day when it was
get his legs, get his elbows.
When you had a horse, if you
handcuff his nuts,
you can get away from a motherfucker.
Yeah,
18,
man,
12.
You remember cops and robbers? The robbers at least had a chance to get around the corner, pow, pow, pow.
So, but
shoot
some,
tile,
something you
three
mentioned.
More blocks. Now the shit in right there. Helicopter showed up with a tank on it. Police blew a motherfucker up. There's nothing. There's nothing to investigation. It was a suspect. Leave him alone.
But you know, the interesting piece, and you brought up a really good point, and that is, how do we attract younger people to law enforcement?
Y'all want more athletic officers?
Well, they need to be, right?
Nah, man.
But how do we attract young people from our generation and from our neighborhoods, right? And I agree, we look at the military, but the other thing that we have to do, and I think this will help in our communities, is we have to do a better job of making sure that we can mentally unpack what happens on a daily basis. And what I mean is, you know, for 30 years, the first time I got a psych evaluation was when I was trying to get a job. And so all the things that you see on a given night.
I think the police, you had to get them once a year too.
And that's my point. And see, that's something else we have to change. At least once, if not twice a year.
Really?
Or at least when an incident occurs, how can we do a better job of getting services so that they can unpack as well?
So because say, for instance, you win this election, right?
When I win it.
When do you win? I'm just hypothetically speaking.
Okay.
Let me live, Pat. Like, I don't know what it's called. It's your sheriff's department. What kind of culture, since we're talking about the culture of police,
right.
What type of culture would you like to have in your outfit? Like, what are going to be some of the requirements to work around or under, Sheriff LeBlanc?
And one of the things that I was able to do as 10 years as chief was start with customer service, right? My goal for everyone that was in my department, and the same thing with the sheriff's office, if I cannot figure out how to help you as a customer, right? I don't care if you're a detainee, I don't care if you get stopped on the side of the road, whatever it is. If I can't help you as a customer, I haven't done my job.
Right.
If I cannot add value to whatever is happening, whether it be a stop or whether you're stopped on the side of the road, how many times has anybody seen somebody stopped on the side of the road and you see police officers and sheriff deputies fly right by them? Right?
I figured they had some more important shit to do.
If the blue light's on, they ain't had nothing else to do.
Oh.
Right? And my point being is that they should be able to help. And this is the other thing that you hold true, is especially in law enforcement, it seems to be that people become more patient about 30 minutes before time for them to get off. Right? And some of
the police be switching shifts.
I can't tell you all that.
Well, hell, you said they be more patient 30
you
minutes.
You just want to know where that is?
Yeah, so I can be out. So you know, the police switch shifts at 6 o'clock. So, shit, let's go with this traffic, man. They might let us go or something.
No, but my point is we should pack that all the way through our shifts. We should pack that patience all the way through our shifts and add value. And so if
maybe the shift's too long.
And in some instances, or maybe they should, we should go to 12 hours and give them more off time, right? So there are things to be able to do that.
Oh, no, y'all don't need no more benefits. Y'all got every, y'all ain't getting shit else.
How you want us to attract good people?
Like, well, it ain't about, you keep using what you've been using. They ain't,
but
keep
if
them.
We continue to do what we always done, we'll always get what we always got.
Y'all get too much shit.
Right?
Y'all get
so
way
we gotta,
too much shit.
You got to be able to attract people. You got to be able to retain good quality officers and deputies. And that's part of it, right? And so one of the things that we have to do is be able to really create that attraction. One of the things I'm going to do, it's create a cyber SWAT team. And it's
what?
They already got that.
That's more police, man.
No, listen to me. Listen to me.
A cyber SWAT team where the average Karens, the white ladies who call them the police.
See, there you go.
Where's their task force?
But you didn't let me finish.
All right, let me hear this.
I want a cyber SWAT team where the average age is less than 24 years old. Right? So now we got young officers coming in a field that in IT field, right? Where they can go after these pedophiles, all right? They can go after these criminals. Atlanta's number two for sex trafficking, right?
Okay. Yeah.
We can go after these folks, but now you have recruited a younger force. Somebody to say, I'm proud to be a part of the sheriff's office.
Okay, well, we're going to need an old force too for these old white ladies who call them police and everybody. They need a task force too. Ain't nothing, you ain't working on nothing for them?
We want you to if you see something, we want you to say something.
But they making up shit. You seen the videos. All you gotta do is be black. They call it and they telling the police.
And they're out here and they're dancing and they got music and barbecue sauce everywhere.
Safest nigga you'll ever meet in your life is a black bird watcher.
But check this out. She also lost her job.
You're not supposed to have no barbecue sauce somewhere.
Right. But she lost her job, right? And he survived that situation.
Right.
And that's the important thing, is that we have to be able to continue. Hope is not a strategy,
right. But
we have to really lean in toward making sure these conversations continue.
I want you to let all the officers know that the black community is not anti-police, man. We're tired of the one-sided brutality and the mistreatment. If that's what the police is going to do, spread that shit around. Whoop everybody ass, violate everybody. Don't just treat my community messed up. And that's why I want to turn to this camera and say it, because it might be some officers out there who wondering, do the black people not like us? We don't. It's only because you don't like us.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Right, and the certain aspects of certain aspects of policing just don't apply to us. Like, I've seen other people get pulled over, and they, fuck you, asshole, write the ticket, you fucking asshole.
Write the ticket,
you dickhead. You didn't have anything better to do. There was nobody trapping, huh? You couldn't go fuck with the trap.
Where's DeAndre, Pat?
Come on.
Give me your damn badge number.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna call my congressman.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll be out of work in the morning. You'll never work in this town again.
And that could be real. And
where is the task force for them?
But and you're then right. If we get pulled over, and be like, what'd you say, officer? Get out of the goddamn
get
car.
Get out the car.
You know what I mean?
Put that goddamn phone down.
You know what I mean?
So he's got a gun.
It's just the difference of the enforcing of the law.
Here's the thing we got to keep in mind. A lot of this has been going on for years.
Right. I know, right? And I ain't mad because you ain't saying nothing about it to me.
Right, well, but here's the thing.
just messing with you, man. It ain't all your fault.
Well, here's the thing, and here's what you got to keep in mind. In leadership, you got to be able to accept the criticism, right? And then figure out how we get better.
You ever had to discipline an officer for, like, being a dirty officer?
I have fired people for being a dirty officer.
After the investigation, though, right?
Yeah, I got to give them due process.
Got to give them due process. Like, you know he
did. I got to give them due process.
Okay.
Right? Got it? I have fired people, and civilians have brought them back to work.
Wow.
Because they said I was being too harsh.
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah. But, I mean, those things happen. And these are a civilian review board of their peers, right? And when I say their peers, I mean our community. I don't mean police officers or correctional
officers. So you've never, like,
officers.
Been at work and then just look around the jail and be like, how did they catch all of these black people and no white folks?
Well, let me tell you something. When I first started, because I'm from here, right? Went to Frederick Douglass High School. Every Friday night I walk in there, I thought it was a class reunion. Right. And I would say, right, it's 400 people in here. How come 15 are white? Right. Are people not calling the police? And that's the key. Right. We call the police on each other. We're not calling the police because somebody's singing too loud in the choir. Right. We calling police because something is happening. And we just have to figure out how to better serve. And what I mean is this, especially if there's a mental issue associated with it. Right, we have to make sure that we. I was gonna say armed with the resources, but we don't want to arm anybody.
You got everything.
I knew you go say that.
Y'all got
but boomerang, we gotta make sure we got
lasso.
We got specialists.
Y'all have
that can come take care of our mentally ill, and so we have to get better at it. And that's
one
the piece.
Indiana
right?
Jones.
Yeah. Makes sense. You know what I mean? So, but I know me. I always think, and this is a we know you can't really. You know, say anything to this because it's probably gonna be, you know, bad for your base. But sometimes niggas should be able to sell a little bit of dope, man. You know what I mean?
See, now you pushing it.
No,
man.
I'm serious.
You pushing
it. I know it sounds crazy, but I mean, come on, man. Like,
you pushing it.
What the fuck? Come on, I gotta go to jail for this bullshit. You know what I'm doing? I'm not out here trying to fuck the community up.
They do
I'm
need to change.
I'm trying to get high.
Well, like, they do need to change some drug laws, though, now.
Let me be clear.
There's some good drug dealers out there that look out for the community when nobody else will.
Especially
if you're a responsible drug dealer and you're selling your drugs to adults who go to work for their money. All right, this is getting too political.
Let me be clear. If you break the law.
Yeah.
And I'm the sheriff.
And he the sheriff.
Your ass is going to jail.
He ain't going to say it. You're going to jail. But I say it. Your ass is going to jail.
Hey, but you know that, right?
I mean, I definitely know that.
I don't sell drugs.
Yeah, neither do I.
I ain't never sold drugs. Because I'm impulsive.
But that's what I'm saying.
And I'm good at marketing. They're like, hey, who needs some drugs? You're not getting drugs. You're not getting drugs.
That's what I mean. Like that, the leniency that is applied across to everybody else should be applied to us as well. Like, I shouldn't have to, you pulling up on me and catching me with something, especially as a black man, you know what I mean? You understand the trials and tribulations that we face in these communities. And a lot of that stuff is passed down. It's not something that we went and learned. We got it inherently. It was given to us. So I'm saying that leniency that's given to Chad, no disrespect, Chad, but you know, you got that, you know, you got that Caucasian name.
They ain't gonna let him slide either.
No, Chad straight. But like the leniency that's given to a Chad, like, look, man, hey, you know what I'm saying? Don't do this anymore, all right? I'm gonna take this from you. I'm gonna let you go on about your way. I catch you again, it's over with. Like, how do you, is that not something that's realistic that can be done? Because that's how you create a difference in opinion about the police. Like, okay, they not just trying to fuck me over for making mistakes. That's how you change the mentality of a young person.
But is that a mistake?
I think it is, because I know everything I did in the streets was just because of willful ignorance and me not knowing no better.
He wasn't selling drugs in the streets.
Yeah, but at a certain point.
Well, that's where I was going.
No, he wasn't doing that. Okay. But it's all hypothetical.
At a certain point, if you want people to have positive outlooks on the police, I know that if I'm a black man and I got a son and I'm out trying to provide, make a way in whatever way I'm doing it, whether it be legal or illegal, but let's just say for conversation purposes, it's illegal. When I come back in the house and be like, man, Sheriff LeBent, man, he looked out for him. He a good dude. I'm telling that to my children. Now they don't have the same mentality because you did something for me to help me and not just punish me because I made a mistake. Now you catch me again, it's over with.
Well, and I got it, right? But hypothetically.
I love him.
Here's the thing that you got to keep in mind. What is untold are the number of times somebody has stopped somebody for DUI and said, do you have a girlfriend that can come pick up the car? Or do you have somebody?
They don't do that in us.
Well, again, don't say
not
never.
On us.
Right? Right?
Not on us.
Right? But at the same time, how do you sit and say this is an absolute? Right? Because it is your absolutely right. And what I'm hearing is it's the officer's discretion. Right?
Yeah,
and these things happen because we're not talking about you getting stopped and you got 10 pounds of weed in the car.
I'm talking about somebody with half an ounce of Reggie, and he been selling this for 6 months. He just trying to get the Reggie off. It's hard to sell.
I got you.
But then you catch me with my last, I'm almost done. I almost got it all the way off now, and I get stopped, and now I got to go to jail after all this hard work. Like, come on, officer, you can take this shit. I was about to sell it, but don't lock me up for the Reggie.
So now the question becomes, they don't lock you up. How many of us say, whoo, I got away. Let me start over with my Reggie.
I mean, that comes, you're right.
So the second time, you okay with getting arrested the second time?
Yeah, because that's on you. If you one of the motherfuckers that's so horrible of a drug dealer that you get caught, that should be your sign. It's not for you, champ.
Said the second time is okay, but not.
If you ignore the fact that God gave you a blessing and you got caught and ain't go to jail and you get caught again, that's on you. But I think that there should be some form of leniency because a lot of these elements in our community, Sheriff, we don't have any control over. The guns and the dope and all that was put there. We don't have the ability to be able to utilize these things on our own. Like, it's generational. Like, everything that's happened, my father was murdered. So I grew up without a father in the home. Now, mind you, I was lucky enough to learn how to be responsible early, not to make the decisions that a lot of my peers made. But at the end of the day, I could have, right, because there is no guidance there. And this is going on all across America. So at this point, I think that level of leniency should be applied to us because of the years and years of systematic oppression that have happened. And it's like, I know that you are struggling with something that you have no control over. So I understand that.
So do I know that or I assume that?
I mean, depending on the situation, I mean, you got to know that. Like, a lot of times, now mind you, you go to the suburbs, lock all them motherfuckers up, they deserve to go to jail.
Let me tell you what we're going to do when I'm sheriff. It doesn't matter where we are. suburbs, inner city, right?
If you break the law, your ass is going to jail.
But there are things that we can do better, right? We certainly want to execute discretion. Right. We certainly want to use that. But even how many times has somebody been locked up and said, you know what? I was treated professionally.
Right? No.
I knew you were going to say that. This is what we got to change, right? And now I got an opportunity. Now I got an opportunity. So there are both sides to that.
Right.
And certainly I don't compare, and certainly your father being not in your life because somebody else took him. My father wasn't in my life because of my choices, but his choices,
yeah.
Right?
Like my little brother, he was a bitch ass nigga just like your dad. It's all good.
And so, but the point being is I had to figure out, am I going to carry that anger around or am I going to figure out how to do better,
right?
Right? And to your point, look, I was a left turn away from making some bad choices.
Right, and that's what I'm right? saying, Sheriff. Like, that process that you go through, you're going to slip and bump your head in that process of figuring it out because the options for us to do of the things that we can do are very slim and limited.
But
so
that's
therefore,
why
in that process, if you know, if you see that this environment is treacherous and this person is trying to make, sense of whatever their reality is, and you come in contact with the police, there should be some sort of discretion or just empathy towards these people to where you say, hey, young man, come here, man. I know what you out here doing. I know what you got going on. Look, I ain't gonna crack you over the head, but I'm telling you, man, you going. If I catch you again, if I catch you out here again, you're going. And that right there does so much for police interaction. And I think it would do so much for police interaction in our communities because you know that you're not just there to, like you said, serve and protect the law. You really here for my best interest. And you're proving to me that I can trust the fact that you actually care about my situation.
Right. They got too many code words to like where there's a high concentration of black people. I don't like the words and the verbiage that they use to try to make it seem like there's always a clear and present danger. Like they always say, crime-infested communities. What the fuck is a crime-infested community?
But that's why we got to get in the communities and be a part of the communities, right? So you can have those conversations. I tell you more often than not.
But do you know a lot of times that those presences make shit worse because it adds to the tension and the pressure and the struggle of trying to get out of this place. And then you're doing what you have to do and trying to survive this environment. And then there's this constant presence of, if you have this interaction, you know that this is going to go bad just because you're where you're located and you're in what you call a high traffic, crime infested community, which really just means where black people live.
So let me ask this, right? And if we're in that environment,
right?
And you see me walk up, what you going to say?
Taking off.
No. I'm saying you see me walk up.
Oh, my bad.
I don't mean the deputies.
I don't mean a rabbit. They gonna have that in the system. You got to catch Chico, baby. I am on foot. We got a fleer.
Right, but
we got a fleer.
Because look, but that's what I'm saying. If we in that environment and you walk up, I know you ain't looking for me. Because when the sheriff come out, he's serving that big warrant.
But the point I'm making
exactly.
is
exactly. See, I know the process, Pat Labatt. I'm not even a criminal.
I understand.
If you walking around the neighborhood, you have that shit on with that big ass 40 and that one badge right there. Hey, Carlos, come here. How you doing? And now all the niggas in the hood think I know you. Right. And now you're going to be coming back looking for one of them because they're going to fuck me up as soon as you leave. Police and he spoke to that boy.
But here's the question, right?
He spoke to that boy. He knew them folk, man. I knew that boy was police in here, boy.
But Los, how do we change that?
I guess you're going to have to buy one of them. Them police houses, they financing and finance.
Through that leniency. Through creating an element of leniency in regards to our communities. Don't put nobody in these communities that don't truly understand what we going through. And I'm not talking about the bitch ass niggas out the community that go be a police so they can come back and revenge.
I got you.
I'm talking about somebody who really understands and gets what these people are going through. And if you're going to be in our community and you see the things that are going on, you know,
right.
Man, this dude ain't out here doing this because That's what he want to do.
And
that's
since, all that since is they want to do that, but, and that, I'm not cutting you off. No, this no, is my ahead. Last thing go I'm ahead. Saying. But like you saying, the police need to be in the communities. It needs to be some kind of way where it's like if they're going to put these officers in these areas and you know that it's crime infested and you know that it's impoverished, they need to go back and check with the residents and get a quarterly or yearly evaluation of, and take those you know, those stories in their account with this officer, he known for doing this. He violate people like this. Because that's how these officers become known in the neighborhoods for all the wrong shit right. that they do.
Well, here's the thing, though, right? And let's take this opportunity. Instead of being fleet of foot, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of taking off when you see me, right? We've had this conversation. So, Los, instead of you, you know, just, hey, you know what? Yeah, ain't no point in y'all running. I know Pat.
Exactly.
Ain't no point.
Y'all. I still might
so,
have the
so that we can build
but
that.
At some point, we got to police too. Now yeah, you might have right. to run.
Something has to be done.
If
to
you
make
caught
him
me
that.
Wrong, I might have to give you the chase so I can give myself
my
a chance.
Point. That's my whole point. You
so
just
I
made
can
my
just
point,
take this right? Fleeing charge instead of this other one.
But you just made my point, right? Well, something, and that's why I say conversations like this build trust.
Right.
Right. So if I roll up. And matter of fact, you ready to jump on me tonight.
Cause you let him you talk. You pulled up just like a street dude. You drive you ain't
ready, you ready
look,
to jump on me.
You
tonight.
Just roll the window down. I know you. I don't know him. Now what? If I fuck around and then I talk to him and he jump out, he undercover, you was there the whole time and I ain't never see you. It's
but what made you comfortable enough to talk?
Black. He was black. Mm-hmm.
What made you comfortable enough to talk?
I just told you.
Mm-mm, mm-mm. He rolled that window down. You peeked through there. You recognized me.
Yeah, I'm definitely not that dumb. This ain't telling him shit. You think you going? How you going to send the undercover? I know him.
Wait, no, no.
Pat! You said in the community, bro. In the community.
But let me tell
you,
y'all.
You're going to bring your boy to my trap?
Hey, hey.
Oh, you
he
just, tell, oh, we going to have a
tell
one-off.
The story. He telling the story because the first thing that happened when that window rolled down, he looked, before he looked at me, because we didn't know which warehouse we were at, right? I'm telling you the truth. He wasn't running.
I act like I ain't know what he was talking about.
He showed it. At 85, he was going to tell me how to get to 85. He sure was. He's, why you want to know? Yeah, what's going on? Then he recognized me, which is my entire point. Which is my entire point. He just made my point. If we can build that kind of trust just from one interview,
right?
And even now, then anything's possible.
And I really believe, I'm telling you, that trust, building that trust with the officers comes with leniency. Because in the communities, crime is one of the only options that we've been given for monetary gain.
And then you got to keep in mind, in the areas that we living in, the shit y'all consider illegal is this way of life.
That's what I mean. Like, so when you come into the community, for me to be like, hey, man, nah, my man, that's Pat. He cool. You got to really do something to make me feel like you cool. And that entails, for the most part, as tough as this may be, man, let me slide, man. I'm fucked up right now. I was out here doing something. Let me slide, Pat.
So,
you,
so
man, my knee, let me slide. So,
bro, you super cop of the year. Damn, you got to take everybody.
So how many kids you got, Chico?
I have a daughter.
Daughter, right? Ain't no fair with daughters. I don't like daughters. But my two boys, right? You know, you ever tried, well, I was going to say you ever had tried to have a conversation with a high guy, right? It blows. But I was. That was a bad question to ask you, right?
I don't be talking to people that's high paid.
That was a bad question to ask you.
Because they can't keep up with the conversation.
So one of their friends was high as a kite, right? And he came over to the house. And I'm trying to figure out, why am I trying to have a conversation with him, right? But it leans back to what you were saying. Is really going back to say, there's a better time to have this conversation. If there is no harm that can come of their friend, right? But if there's harm, or they have the potential to harm somebody else, what's gonna happen?
You ain't going to jail.
You know, so that's what I mean, right? But we have to build that trust, because just as equally as much, or equally as important, is if you want me to trust, if you want to trust you to trust me.
Yeah.
I got to trust you.
Right, which is cool. But like I said, man, I really believe there should be some type of, you know, whether it be under the table shit. Y'all don't snitch on each other and shit at the office.
Right.
So, hey, get the cops together that's like, look, man, if you're going to be over there, you're going to catch some motherfuckers down bad. But, hey, let them rock. If, you know, give them a shot to understand, look, we are here to enforce the law. But I understand what's going on. All the things that you just said and explained to us, they got the citizens program. They got all these different programs you can go get involved in to counteract that. So the fact that you didn't know, I'm gonna consider the fact that you didn't know and me catching you up bad right now. So now that you know, there is no excuse for me to ever have to come back here and see you doing the same thing.
And I don't disagree with you, but I think what happens is there are a lot of good officers out there, a lot of good deputies out there where those things happen, but it's not publicized.
Yeah.
Right? And I can tell you there are a number of officers that have allowed people to say, you know what, I don't want to tow your car, man. Right? But your license is suspended. Right? That's the only really non-discretional piece in the whole process of somebody going to jail, right? Yeah. Your license suspended.
I mean, even with suspended license, I ain't forgot how to drive, baby.
I still know how to drive, and that's what I'm saying.
I just know
that there's never been any lean as a whole. Some people might experience it and might have been able to run into those officers who got a good heart and understand, but that is far and few between.
We have to change.
Yeah, don't waste my leniency on a seatbelt violation. Let me go when I did shoot. Let me ask you this though. Do you feel like officers know the difference between criminals and civilians? Because I feel like some civilians are being treated like criminals.
So here's the first thing I'd ask you. What's the difference?
What's the difference? Yeah. Can a civilian be a criminal?
Yeah, the difference is getting caught.
My point.
You are a civilian until you get caught doing some criminal shit.
You just made my point.
Yeah, I meant like a career criminal.
Like, you a criminal. You do this shit all the time. This ain't your first rodeo.
But it doesn't make
you a criminal tonight. You ain't a criminal yet. You just did some crime. You got to go to court and go to jail, and then when you get home, then you a criminal. Like, a criminal done graduated through the justice system already.
So here's what I prefer to say instead of determining if you're a criminal or if you're a citizen, right? If you're a repeat offender, right? And you, especially violent repeat offenders, here's the thing that we have to really focus on.
Oh, there it is. That's what y'all should do. You should have the ass whooping package for people who like violence, get them some violence. But people who fucking up in traffic, they don't deserve the violence package.
So here's what we're gonna
get
focus
your
on.
Ass whooped for going 97. Like, nigga, that's a nice car. You gonna beat me up because you mad my shit fast?
Until you lose control of it and kill somebody.
Until then, save the ass whooping.
The point I'm making is this. 40-50% of the violent crimes are created by less than 500 people, right? We know who they are.
Whoop they ass. Y'all don't mind going to people's house doing shit and violating.
The only way we start with that, Los, is when I get elected.
There we go.
Right,
so
now,
you mean that when you get elected,
I'm coming to
violent
see
motherfuckers getting ass whooped?
I'm coming to see about you.
For you again, because I stood in line for a whole hour and I was like, man, they would pull by on the Sprinter van. They had your face coming up in HD. I was like, look at my boy with the lineup, skin clear, pat him back. And then I went to the library and I voted. I made sure I got you enough. Hey, man, we ain't going to keep you in here all night because we can talk this shit out. And, you know, you family to us. It's just like, you know, you the uncle that's the police now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You the uncle that's the police now, man. And we wish you much success and much love. Is there any other questions from the floor? Any questions from the floor?
Where can they vote?
Great question. So early voting has already started.
Yes, sir.
So it will run.
Got mine in.
Early voting will run through August 7th, right? Early voting on the weekend, this weekend, and next, this Saturday, and next. The actual election date is August 11th. And so the largest place to vote, and we talked about it earlier, is State Farm.
Okay.
But you can certainly go to my website, Labatt for Sheriff, and pull up all the early voting locations. Again, I do want to give a shout out to Fulton County. We went from 6 early voting locations to 20.
Yeah.
And so over So over in Wolf Creek area, right?
Right.
The reported lines will maybe take 3 minutes to vote, right? So they've done a much better job. We don't expect that precinct
to be open.
Your team
did a great job getting your signs out. I've been seeing them all through my neck of the woods.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
I appreciate
everybody in the community. You definitely got a lot of support. And we appreciate you coming through the 85 South Show. Anything you need from us, man, you just let us know. You're more than welcome to use our platform.
Whatever I appreciate
you got. And even after this, and you win, and you got things coming up that you need the community to be a part of, we definitely want to
come out. Well, I want you all to be a part of what the future looks like.
Most
right,
definitely.
When it comes to law enforcement. Yeah. So next time, it won't be as a harder conversation because you all will be a part of the
well,
solution.
Well, you had to make the second round harder, man, because we let you slide the first time.
Is that what it was?
Then we got through in the comments. They were like, man, why y'all ain't asking about prison reform? And I was like, we only had so much. So
we just was
busting you up a little bit, man.
No, I love it. I love it. I appreciate it. It
is hypotheticals and stuff.
How
like
we'll
that.
Get better,
yeah.
Right? And so certainly thank you all for allowing me the platform.
Yeah. We were showing the people what kind of guy you really are, man. And they know what type of guys we are. So it's like we want you to be in here answering the hard shit first. Because if you can deal with us talking like we talk, them press conferences and all that other stuff is a cakewalk.
That's a blessing. That's a blessing.
Definitely.
That's a blessing. And certainly thank you all. And if there's anything you need, you know, I'm here. Right. Let's continue the conversation.
This is one of them stickers to put on my license plate so they know to leave me alone. That's all I want. Just that one where they put the flashlight in on you. You ain't see it. It's reflective. Just give me a couple of them. I'm straight.
There you go. So again, I enjoyed it.
Ask me what question to ask the officer when he pulled me over. You know, the lunch is at 6 o'clock this evening.
Oh, wow.
Hey, man, go ahead, buddy. Go ahead.
There you go. No,
the watchman is watching the watch. What you watching? What? Pat. I know Pat. Just gotta go.
Hey, no, you'd be surprised. Most of the time they tell you, you know, well, you can call him from jail.
Wow.
Yeah. I ain't even did shit.
Exactly. Hey, yeah, because, you know, I'm not the sheriff yet, right? Yeah. We got to get there.
You'll be
there. We got to get there. And then the other piece is we have to create a balance, right?
We
want to be able to say to the officers and deputies, you know what, thank you for doing your job.
Yeah, we definitely.
That's what they want. Tell the truth before you go. Is that what the police want? Police want some praise. Is that what y'all?
Don't you like praise?
I'm just asking. I thought y'all was so tough. That's what y'all want.
Don't you like being told thank you?
Oh, well, hey, man. What have they done good recently?
See, there you go.
Do something. Do something. Do something.
Now, were you... You asked what have they done lately? Good, right?
Good.
So you look over, even in the university area, where several police officers and commanders went out and did nothing but to those needy, right? Passed out gift cards, right? Making sure people had an opportunity to continue to feed their families, right? It's how we rebuild
that's
trust.
That's decent.
Right?
That's decent.
But 85% is we need Sheriff Pat LaBotte, we need him to win because we don't want the person who do win to come fucking with us for fucking with him. So,
right. So that ain't gonna happen. They probably happen.
Let's get him in office so we really can utilize.
Because they don't have a platform like this to come to, and we know that we laugh and we joke and we comedians and stuff like that, man. But the people heard exactly what they needed to hear. You a real stand up dude, Pat LaBotte, and we wouldn't have it no other way.
Let's do it, bro.
Ain't nobody else come on here and be the police. You the only one, bro.
Ain't nobody else coming.
You the only one that's gonna ever be who you are and did what you did. 85 South Show, my man Pat LaBotte.
Appreciate you, man.
And we got your theme song already.
I'm gonna need it.
I'm gonna have to walk out.
Yes, sir.
Roy, hell up, Chico. Let's get the shot, man.
Oh yeah, let's do it.
Hold up, what my mask? Let me get it. You got your mask?
Oh yeah.
Let's do the Pat LaBotte mask, man.
Thank you, brother.
Joe, what's the time?
12:01.
We got time for one more joint?
Yeah.
All right, bet.
The hit movie Bob Marley One Love is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life of an icon who inspired generations with his message of love, peace, and unity. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro? Amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.